Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're at a golf tournament. Where else would we want to be on a Monday after the Masters? Berkeley Hills Country Club, Green Hat Classic. The Kyle Peace Foundation is the benefactor. And what a time in sports, and what a time to be sitting on a microphone and having you guys listen on the Odyssey app, and hopefully you are listening on the Odyssey app all over. I got to imagine we're getting some check-ins, some, like Atlanta's the home court for the Masters, right? It's almost like another pro sport for us. Nobody understands the tournament better than we do. Nobody probably has more members than folks living in and around Atlanta.
Yeah.
Nobody had more people that actually were at the tournament than the folks listening to us.
Right.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Love to hear the atmosphere. Love to hear how big the galleries were yesterday. It's funny, even when I talk about the Masters, I'm worried about them taking away my broadcast rights, and I'm not there. Like, you can't say, you're not supposed to say back nine, it's the second
nine. Yep. You're not allowed to say driving range, you're supposed to say tournament practice area.
You can't, obviously, you ever use the word, it's a mob at the eighth green, because then you'll be banned
for life. Not supposed to say fans, because that's fanatics, you're supposed to say patrons.
Yes, but we're allowed to here, Mike Conti doesn't care.
I won't do that. I will abide by Augusta.
I know. He's like, I get nervous even talking about it. It's the craziest thing. So lots more on that coming up, including a bunch of stuff from Rory McIlroy. I would say for my buddy here, Joe Salome, this is his tournament. Can we set him up with his microphone there? Yes, sir.
My bad.
Is this your first day in radio? What the hell's going on here? Huh? Get in nice and tight.
I've been around a few days.
Yeah, you have. So you're the head honcho. At the Georgia Hemp Company. Explain what this tournament's all about.
Well, this tournament started 4 years ago. We partnered with the Kyle Pease Foundation, who empowers disabled individuals to participate in sports. So I partner with Kyle and Brent. Kyle's in the wheelchair, and Brent pushes him through races. They just finished the Ironman in Kona last year.
Wow.
Jeez.
So this group, I was just attracted to it from day one. Kyle's also a Kennesaw State University graduate, such as myself. And so just bringing the connection just brought me even further to them.
Go Owls.
Yeah, go Owls.
So watching young people get that opportunity, there's a program over at NYO not far from where I live where they do a number of things, kids with Down syndrome and kids that are disabled and, haven't been around Camp Twin Lakes enough times, and seeing how opportunities for kids that don't have the chance to be in athletics in the same capacity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you miss out. You really miss out, which is why it's such a great cause.
You're taken out of the general activities that we enjoy as kids. We enjoy as adults. Even you still play basketball, right?
Yeah, and well, relatively speaking.
Not with that back pain.
Yeah.
But that's exactly is giving these individuals the opportunity to get out there just like we did.
Yeah.
And to your point, I see it every year at NYO. And actually, Kyle was part of that years ago when he was a child. And so just to continue to provide these opportunities is what this is all about, yeah.
So tell everybody about the Georgia Hemp Company. Yeah. We've known each other a long time. Now you're some big executive. You got all these different stores. You're front and center. No new laws passed. Everything's good. Can we say that?
Yeah, all the regulations that were set to be passed this year were not. They were all killed. All the bills were killed. So we call it.
Okay, yeah.
So that's good. Nothing changed for us. We just had changes 6 months ago in our industry here in Georgia. We just regulated hemp. Basically, we gave legal pathways for businesses to participate.
Yep.
That's why you have distributors like Eagle Rock and United out here today with THC beverages that they're now distributing.
Gotcha.
So we have them out here on the course. These are things you're going to find in your gas station, your local hemp store. Yeah, it can be at bars locally.
I would imagine the term sober curious, which is now like a real term, is a really good thing for your industry.
Do you smell that in the air?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
I do smell that in the air.
It's nice.
So who is that? Where is that coming from?
The golfers are exiting to the golf course.
They're there.
But I mean, I'm going to tell you that this generation understands that they're,
options.
It's a healthier way. I mean, listen. I don't want to get into whether, whether it's drinking or smoking or any of those different, you know, outlets. But you hear the word sober curious, which is folks that are turning to options like you have, gummies and things like that, right?
Gummies, beverages, even mushroom is an option, right?
Yeah.
We're looking for things that aren't going to adversely affect our bodies, big picture. And steak, you know, working in this industry as long as we have, that the alcohol is always around us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I always fought, you know, back at Radio Vietnam, was how do I not always have to participate in this?
Right.
And cannabis was always my go-to.
Yeah.
Remember our boy 3D? Used to walk around making sure we were all kind of had our good stuff.
When we used to go to the studios, he had the late night show,
yeah.
3D.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd care. I was telling Dennis Scott. Let's just say, you know, it was what are we used to talk about? You get a contact high watching the overnights at 790. So, and God bless him. Now he's crushing it.
He's crushing it.
NBNTT. Anyway, we appreciate you having us. Great, great cause. Congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
I literally said there's not a better day of 365. You get the day after the Masters.
Perfect.
These dudes are so jonesing to hit.
They're so
jonesing.
Dude,
awesome.
It's crazy.
I'm jonesing to hit, too.
I know.
Come on, we're all
and
this
guy's
last night.
This guy's a one. By the way,
let's get you out there.
Let's do it.
So, this is the best day for golf of the year, day after the Masters.
Beautiful.
Everybody out here is jonesing to hit in more way than one.
Yes. and as Joe said, all those laws got killed. All those. So you're having a really good friggin' day.
We're having a great day. We're celebrating 420. We're having a great time, and I can't thank you enough for being out here.
It's great to see your beautiful daughter as well. Always.
Thank you, sir.
Yay, she looks great. All right, let's get back to Roy McIlroy, and let's hear what he had to say. Obviously, high drama in the sports world. And here is Rory explaining what yesterday meant.
I would say it was 14 years in the making from, you know, going out with the four-shot lead in 2011. You know, feeling like I could have got it done there. And, yeah, there was a lot of pent-up emotion that just came out on that 18th green. And a moment like that makes all the years and all the close calls worth it.
Do you think it's fair to say that now that Rory has that Masters monkey off his back, he's got the green jacket, he's completed the career Grand Slam, that the shackles are off? Because
I
the
heard
next
people
major
say
championship
it.
Is at Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte for the PGA Championship. Rory's won there four times.
Yeah, he's about to go on a run is what some people think. I didn't ask you about some of the other storylines over the weekend. First of all, Scottie Scheffler scuffling a little bit, right?
Yep, scuffling a little bit. Patrick Reed made an eagle on 17.
Dude,
he missed a
ridiculous short
putt earlier in the round, which would have gotten him into the playoff. My classmate, a former Georgia Bulldog, Harris English, shot 4-under on the second nine. Yesterday, he finishes T12, so he gets an automatic invite back to the Masters next year.
Anybody else jump out of you for how they played?
Well, you know, we got to give you some love in the Calcutta. You did win the Calcutta. I did pick the winner in Rory McIlroy. I was a little bit surprised. My boys, Sepp Straka and Russell Henley, struggled on Thursday. They both missed the cut. And
what was the key to my group?
You had a lot of people make the cut.
Okay.
Yeah, and that
you
was
and Rusty
key.
Had two guys miss the cut.
That's right,
right,
so we were out.
Okay, Sandy wanted to win so bad. She was at Augusta. She'll tell us about her first experience
there. Yeah, I saw that. And, you know, I had a bunch of friends from the athletic club. They went over to the lake, and they did the Friday thing at the lake, played some golf, and then head over to Augusta on Saturday. You cannot talk about how good the weather was this weekend. It looked spectacular on TV yesterday. It was perfect. It was an absolutely perfect 89th Masters tournament. Rory McIlroy wins. Just awesome storylines all around.
We sat outside my buddy's house for one of those Masters parties, which is now becoming, I feel like, more and more a thing, kind of like the Derby and now the Masters.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to Atlanta have a party for the final round or for the Saturday round. And the weather was just insanely nice yesterday.
So good.
To be able to sit and watch. All right, here is more Rory McIlroy.
It feels incredible. This is my 17th time here, and I started to wonder if it would ever be my time. And I think, you know, the last 10 years coming here with the burden of the Grand Slam on my shoulders and trying to achieve that, I'm sort of wondering what we're all going to talk about going into next year's Masters. But I'm just absolutely honored and thrilled and just so proud to be able to call myself a Masters champion.
14 years since his last major championship. If you watched all of the coverage after the Masters last night, every other Grand Slam winner stake accomplished the Grand Slam in pretty quick fashion.
Yep.
Tiger Woods one time. These guys are on the top of their game when they're collecting their major championships. So when you hear Rory talk about the burden that he had, 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years in between, 17 years coming to the Masters,
yes.
But 14 years with an opportunity.
That burden is real that he's talking about. Very, very, very real.
Well, you saw it because he's on his knees and literally couldn't control his emotions for a long time. It really was more about relief than adulation, or elation, I should say.
And you could tell. You could tell that he was a man experiencing great relief.
But he was unraveling.
Yes.
It's like, you know, talking to you, who's a scratch golfer, and explaining that, you know, even going to the bunker on 18, when it was all set up for you, you know, missing the eagle putt at 15, was it? And then missing on the putt on 18 as well when you bail yourself out. It's like, holy smokes, incredible, life-changing shot, missed the putt. Holy smokes, another, like, eagle setup, missed the putt.
Right.
And you're like, is this guy going to be able to – oh, then he goes in he goes into the water at, what, 13?
Inexplicable. Can't believe he laid up first. And then he just absolutely olays an 89-yard wedge shot, leaves it short, goes into the water. He's got a drop on the other side of the water.
Rory McIlroy would start to become
Greg Norman 2.0.
Well, yeah, no
Greg
question.
Norman 2.0.
And he's already had moments.
Yes.
Now, DeChambeau beat him in the
U.S. Open last year at Pinehurst.
Now, Bryson DeChambeau has let everybody know that Rory McIlroy didn't say a word to him, wouldn't talk to him. We're going to ask Billy Andre, is that even worth noting? I mean, felt like Rory McIlroy was trying to be dialed in, but Bryson wanted folks to know there was no chit-chat going on. We'll talk to Billy Andre.
I can't wait. I love Billy Andre.
Yeah, he is. He's a gem. Went on the tour for years. He's on the Champions Tour now. Rhode Island native. Atlantan resident. We'll talk to Billy coming back, and lots more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's a Monday in the Steakhouse. Back to our 9 to 11 shift. Really enjoyed our 4 hours last week. And I got this lower back. I had back spasms and all kinds of stuff last week. And we're here, as luck would have it, at the Green Hat Classic, Kyle Pease Foundation. And Joe Salome, who runs it, just said, dude, I got something for that. I got something for that pain you have. So
nice.
We shall see what he comes
all
up
right.
with.
All right. I like that.
You just don't know.
I like that program.
I will tell you this. This is what people are going to get after today. I mean, if ever there was a day to throw caution to the wind on a Monday and say, all due respect, I'm at a charity golf classic, boss. This is one of those absolute spectacular days that Augusta really got all weekend long as well.
Yeah, and you talk about, too, like our listeners being so close to the Masters, attending the Masters, Masters parties, what Atlanta means to that tournament. It's unique in the sense of last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a lot of your bosses and contemporaries are not working.
Yeah.
They're in Augusta. They're watching live stream at the office.
And nobody understands, you know, what that tournament means, like the city of Atlanta. And I promise you that in sports talk radio all over the country, they'll be talking about it. But we just kind of made a decision here. There's just too many folks on the fringe that maybe aren't, you know, total golf fans, but they're either sports fans or just – you know, they got immersed in the Rory story, and a guy that knows Rory and knows the story better than anybody, friend of the show, Billy Andre, longtime PGA commentator, player. Billy, that was something yesterday, man, huh? Where were you for it? And take me through your thoughts.
I was home here in Atlanta. I took my daughter to see the Eagles on Friday night, and flew back, and I wanted to be back to watch the final round, and got home on a red eye and sat on my couch and watch it like I watch it every year. I love watching the final round at home with it was just my wife and I. And, you know, exhaustion would be my first, would be my first word, my first adjective to use of just like, oh my gosh, as a player who's played in the tournament many times, to see a player go through a roller coaster of emotion. And I mean, everybody wanted this to be the Rory Bryson duel, you know, this match play duel. Well, that was over very quickly. Bryson didn't have it. And, you know, the flips from 1 to 3 and 4,
yeah.
Those two shot swings, and then,
wild.
You know, just crazy. And then from there, it was a duel between Rory and Rory's mind,
and right,
being and trying to stay in the present and trying to just hit one shot at a time. And then he walks up to the, after birdie and 9, he walks up to the 10th tee, and I turned to my wife and she said, don't say a word. Don't say what everybody's thinking, which is he had this same opportunity with a 4-shot lead with 9 holes to go. And he ended up shooting 80 and finishing 15th. And it took him that long to get back to where he had this opportunity again. So I didn't say anything. And then he birdies 10. And, you know, now he goes to 11 and misses the fairway to the right. Very fortunate he didn't hit it in the water there. The ball to stay up. That hardly ever happens. You know, that ball kicked off that. See, what people don't understand that haven't been there, that second shot is straight downhill and the everything, the lay of the land, everything funnels to the, you know, to Ray's Creek and to the pond on the left. And that ball stand up was just amazing. Nervy chip there, nervy putt. He's made it seemed like he had made every right to lefter up until 11, and then he missed that one low. Did a great job on 12 to get that ball where he did, to where he could two putt that. And then interesting on 13, you know, here's a man who's made 2 eagles and a birdie there in his three rounds. So that's his, you know, comfort hole. And he lays up off the tee with a 3-wood and then lays up. And then a shot that I think shocked every single person in America.
I asked Drew about it in terms to talk about as a pro at that level. First, laying up, Drew, you said it yourself, couldn't believe it, right?
Yeah, and Billy, he has 252 in there. I mean, I know the camber on the fairway is certainly tilted, ball's way above your feet, but to me, with how Rory was swinging it, I thought that was a green light special. Worst case scenario, put it in one of the back bunkers, chipping a putt, and you're not making double.
Well, Drew, but think about it. He hit 7-iron and 6-iron into that hole. You know, the first day, the first 3 days. So he laid up off the tee. He knew he was going to lay up. He had 252. Yeah, that's go on, you know, on a Wednesday, but not on Sunday when you have a big lead in the Masters. You have to lay up there, and you're the one of the best players in the world. Now his bugaboo is he's not a great wedge player, and he had 86 yards, but he had everything to the left. He had almost 25 yards left of that flag where he could just bump and run it, and to hit the shot that he hit was oh my gosh, that's total nerves, that's total blanking out. It happens. It goes to show you that it doesn't matter if you're one of the best players in the world. This stuff can happen, especially with everything he's been through the last 11 years of trying to get to this point. But when you had a cushion like that, very, very shocking. And then he follows it up on the next hole with a bogey, and like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the worst nightmare you've ever seen. And then in Rory fashion, to come back with, okay, you know what? I got nothing to lose again. Here comes the roller coaster. Let's go back up it. And he hits probably one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in my life.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. On 15, you're talking about, and then he misses the eagle putt. Did you notice anything having been around, you know, guys at that level and Rory and everything else? I mean, was there any sign that he was – Was he rushing his putts? Was he too long out on the fairway? And they said he was taking more time than normal. Was there anything about looking in his eyes that you said or were reading anything? Because whatever you were reading, next second later, he probably surprised you.
Yeah, I would say, Stake, that, he got just tentative on the putts coming in. You know, the 13, he missed the putt to the right for bogey. 14, he just kind of curled it. He almost made it. He missed that to the right. 15, I don't know if he rushed it, but, you know, that putt there broke a little left. He missed that one left. He missed the putt on 16. Those were all very, very quick, delicate putts. And the thing that, you know, that people at home watching don't understand is the greens got really crusty. They got faster. They were the fastest they've been all week. You know, they dried out. His shot into 17, he was saying, get up, get up, get up. And that ball hit from the middle of the fairway or the right side of the fairway there. That ball normally, you know, earlier in the week would hit and stop and he would have had maybe a 25-footer. That ball bounced up and got up there fairly close, which was an unbelievable shot in that birdie there. And then he comes back and does it again on 18 with a wedge. I mean, that is a stock wedge for the best player in the world, and you miss the green to the right in the bunker. Oh, my gosh, I was off my couch at that point.
Billy and, Billy Andre with us, by the way, on Sports Radio 92.9.
So, Billy, how all of that is unraveling, and you mentioned Rory making the double on 13. Simultaneously, Justin Rose makes a 25-foot bomb birdie putt on 18 to get in the clubhouse at 11 under. What is it like for Justin Rose to have to stay ready on the range for over an hour and then understands you're in a playoff, get in the cart, we're going back to 18T, and then, of course, Rory hits the shot of his career, gets to redo that 125-yard wedge shot from the middle of the fairway on 18 and stuffs it to 2.5 feet.
Yeah, I think that Justin Rose, when you're the player in that situation, you've just died and gone to heaven. You know, he lost the tournament on Saturday afternoon on 16, and his finish, you know, he had a chance to go to 8 under and be, you know, 3 or 4 shots off the lead going to Sunday, and he stumbles coming in, and now he's 5 under going to Sunday, and he's got nothing to lose and goes out and, I mean, 10 birdies on Sunday is just amazing.
Christ,
unbelievable
insane.
Round.
To hammer, you know, a 66 on Sunday and hit that on 18, like DeChambeau hit 18 the day before. I want to ask, a minute left. Bryson DeChambeau is talking about that Rory never spoke to him the entire round. They had no interaction. I think he put it out there. I don't know what he, you know, it's big social media news today. Does that surprise you at all? I mean, given what was at stake for Rory McIlroy, I don't know. It feels like he was just dialed in, and I'm not surprised by it. Is that your reaction to that?
Stake, we're not playing in a pro-am. This is the final round of the match.
Right.
There's no love here.
Right.
You know, he's another player that's trying to get in my way. I played with Tiger Woods many times on the PGA Tour. He didn't say one word to me, and it wasn't like I walked away going,
Oh, man,
I can't believe he doesn't want to be my friend. This isn't about being friends here.
No, I mean, what's there to say? Yeah, what is there to say? I'm trying to get the biggest monkey in golf history off my back, and you're also a rival. You're a Ryder Cup rival. What is there to chit-chat about? Yeah.
there's no chit-chat. You know what? If we're doing a pro-am party, that's one thing. I'll say hi to you. But you know what? Listen, this is the final round. This is my chance.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say to you and vice versa.
Most folks root for Rory McIlroy around golf and players in general.
Absolutely. I think, you know, he's a classy guy.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know him when he first came over. His first tournament was the Memorial, and he came right up to me and introduced himself. He's got his mom and dad are great folks. He's a He's definitely a guy you want to root for. And you know what, guys? He's been through a lot, especially the last couple years with the whole LIV thing. The PGA Tour put him on their back, and he was the spokesperson. And he got, he got right in the mix of it. He had to do all the interviews. He got in the mix with all the players. You know, a lot of players were not happy with his direction. And then they say they're cutting a deal with him,
and they put him in that situation. So,
and he ended up stepping down from the PGA Tour because it was a little too much, and he wanted to focus more on his golf game. So, you know, I give the guy a lot of credit. You know, he was the spokesperson for a while, and then he stepped away, and to get this monkey off his back, you know what? You know, you talk about the greatest wins ever in Augusta history: 86 Masters, 97 when Tiger won by 12 shots, and then Tiger again in 2019. You can rank this one up there with those three great wins.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, Billy. Always great to get your perspective.
All right. Love you guys. Take care.
Love you too, Billy. Brother. Thank you, man. We'll see Billy in a couple weeks at TPC Sugarloaf for the Mitsubishi Electric Classic on the PGA Tour Champions, which I am extremely excited to cover.
All right. We'll come back, play some Three Strikes. Got to say hello to two pretty ladies that just showed up here with these two right here.
That would be my beautiful wife, Jackie, and Miss Olivia Butler, my two-year-old.
Wow.
Hey, ladies.
Wow. She is very happy to see Daddy. We're wrapping it up here from the Berkeley Hill Country Club, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Steak Shapiro, Drew Butler, hanging out on a beautiful day.
Yeah, G Money in the house too at Berkeley Hills Golf Club.
I miss G Money. He's he's rocking and rolling, doing his thing, right, G?
Yeah, so, man, just trying to be like you guys, man. Good to be back out here with y'all.
Yeah, well, we appreciate seeing you. We haven't talked a lot of Braves. Maybe that's a good thing for the Braves. Not a good weekend in that. In that spring training facility over there. That is a weird thing to watch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was certainly interesting. And, you know, what's funny is that the Athletics are out in Sacramento, California. I believe they're playing in a similar setup.
Yeah, no, they got two minor league / spring training facilities. But, listen, the Braves are not in a good place right now. And Toronto is not a place to get healthy when you see the rotation that – I think you were talking about it, who the Jays are sending out. Although we get the two Spencers on Tuesday and Wednesday, this is a tough little deal.
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays right now are leading the American League East. They're 9-7 overall, and they're going to bring out three heavy hitters on the mound. Hopefully Spencer Strider gets active on Wednesday. I believe that's correct, G. And everybody says as the overtures are being sent right now, it seems like that's going to happen, barring any unforeseen setbacks.
Yeah, he went out through a side yesterday. But if he doesn't have any setbacks today, then he's going to be officially announced as the Wednesday starter. That's my expectation, based on my conversations with Grant McCauley on my right before my show yesterday. He should be good to go. But Spencer Schwalenbach on Tuesday, that's a pretty good setup. Grant Holmes, the expectation, or at least the hope, don't do a lot with that bullpen. Try to go as deep into the game as you can. That's been his biggest emphasis here in the early parts of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a scuffling kind of time right now for the Braves. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't recover from Jerkson Profar and Ronaldo Lopez and Ronald Acuna not there till May, and Spencer Strider missing the first 2 weeks, and Chris Sale looking, unfortunately, a little bit like the Chris Sale from Boston a few years ago, than the Chris Sale that won the essentially Triple Crown last year. So he is so hard on himself. You read all the quotes after yesterday's game. He beats himself up. He says he's as frustrated as he's been at any point in his career. It's just, you know,
Sports, man. I mean, this guy was on top of the world last year. He was unstoppable. Yeah, Cy Young Award winner.
He's the reason they even got in the postseason. There's no question about it. By the way, the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one pressure washing company. The big game tonight we just told you about is the Braves tonight, brought to you by John Foy and Associates. Anything I can share with you about the NBA playoffs that we need to chat about, you know.
Let's ask you the famous Steak Shapiro question. Tomorrow night, Hawks Magic, you got $100. Which side are you pushing it towards?
Are we betting the game?
Money line.
Yeah, I like Orlando. I like Orlando at home.
Wow.
I like Paolo Banchero and Wagner. I like they've been more consistent. And, you know, listen, as great signs as there have been for Dyson Daniels and Zachary Risacher and Jalen when he was playing and the year that Trey has had, you know, we're an 8 seed and we're under 500. And, you know, Orlando is not much better, but they had real massive injuries early on, and they're playing at home. And I'm going to tell you, we could get a win and play the Celtics.
Yep.
Or we could be playing Miami and Chicago. Both have been super hot the last month, and we could find ourselves out of the playoffs altogether. So
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Season series, Hawks and Magic, they played four times, of course, yesterday. A game that did not matter. The Hawks won more recently, April the 8th. The Magic beat the Hawks 119.
Yeah, that was the big game, and they handled them. Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, a first round 4 out of 7 against Luka Doncic and the Lakers. That's very, very interesting. That'll be fun. The playoffs in general, a lot of heavy hitters, and you know, in the Eastern Conference, it's kind of like, can anybody touch Boston or Cleveland? In the West, Golden State in the mix, obviously with Jimmy Butler. And, you know, the Lakers with Luka in the mix. And then, of course, Oklahoma City looks just like, you know, a absolute juggernaut. Let me give you our three strikes questions. Just let me do this.
Okay.
The last time you cried watching sports, other than yesterday, was there anything that ever brought you to tears? The party I went to yesterday, now Drew's kind of a bougie guy. He appreciates the finer things in life. So I didn't have to educate him about Gold Belly. Do you know what that is, G? Do you know? I don't need you to nod. I need you to speak to me. Do you know what? Sorry, I don't mean to be. But do you know what Gold Belly is?
I don't know.
Have
Gold
you heard Belly. Of Gold Belly?
I don't know.
Okay.
Gold Belly.
Gold Belly is every restaurant in America.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's Stone Crab.
Giordano's
Pizza
in Chicago. Pizza.
It's
lobster rolls in Maine.
Yeah,
it's
what's the New Haven pizza, Pepe's pizza.
Yeah, what's the specialty?
They will. It's Katz's Deli.
Yep.
They deliver the exact meal from that restaurant, all wrapped up, from any restaurant in the country, right? Maybe the world. So yesterday, the Masters they're on Gold Belly. So I walked into this party yesterday. It's the exact egg salad, the exact pimento, the exact chicken salad, the exact beef, chips, everything, all the Masters logos. If you could have Gold Belly, you could have a restaurant deliver anywhere in the country deliver to you tonight, what would that meal be? What would that meal be? And finally, your drink of choice for the golf course. Transfusion seems to have taken over the world.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the transfusion?
Oh, I know that. I heard a couple transfusions being ordered at the bar just inside just a moment
ago. Yeah, I do see a fair amount of styrofoam cups here before 11 a.m. at Berkeley Hills Country
Club. No judging.
Which I'm a fan of. Hey, it's an early start.
No judging, right? Perhaps you're not as sober curious as this new generation, and that's okay, too.
You can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
That is true.
Drink your choice for the golf course. The restaurant in the world that you most would want to deliver, let's just say in America tonight, and the last time you cried, if ever, watching sports. I'd like some full phone lines. Drew's family is right in our midst. We don't want to embarrass him and his wife wondering, why doesn't anybody call your show for three strikes? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Lots to get to this week. Sandy back in the house, her first ever trip to Augusta. We pushed off things I learned to tomorrow because of Billy Andre.
Yep, that was awesome. Thanks to Billy for calling in. Adam Elsis on X right now. He's been listening. He says you can't forget Rory won the Players this year as well, so then the list of Grand Slam golfers who also won the Players shrinks even more. Only Rory, Jack, and Tiger.
Grand Slam golfers that also won the Players.
Yeah.
Yeah, those three. And also a happy Passover to our Jewish listeners.
Yes.
because it's a hard time if you're staying on the program. You know, you're not supposed to eat any bread or no yeast, no pasta, no bread. So, Mom, do not look at my Instagram stories from yesterday. Do not look at the Instagram story from yesterday.
You and I are big White Lotus fans.
Yes.
Did you see the SNL spoof called The White POTUS?
Hysterical.
I thought it was
funny.
I thought
the episode was John Hamm.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He's a king. They did The White POTUS. It was hysterical.
So funny.
So good. And I heard that a member of the staff, the girl with the tooth, didn't like it. I said, get over yourself.
That was so funny.
Yeah, they hit pretty big with John Hamm the other night. All right, let's rock and roll. All right, let's enjoy our last few minutes together here. Hope you've enjoyed all our Masters coverage today with Drew Butler and Tyler and Ackworth playing along. The last time you remember crying from a sporting event, Tyler?
Honestly, my Braves winning the World Series, man. I'm a homer. It meant everything.
That's a good one. That's a good one, man. The restaurant in America you'd want delivered to your house tonight?
Oh, my God. The Golden Steer and... down the Golden Steer out in downtown Las Vegas, like kind of Freeman area. Dude, the best bone-in ribeye. They make Caesar dressing table side. Oh,
I've
man.
Heard,
and it's where all the mobsters ate it was kids. It was killer.
Yeah, I've heard great things about it. I don't know why that hasn't been in my repertoire yet. Give me the drink of choice on the golf course.
Man, as you said earlier, transfusions are great, but if not, we got to have the dad waters with the Michelob Ultras.
Yeah, Mick Ultras are good. You know what I like? Freshy tequila seltzer. Tequila seltzer, freshy. It's organic. They got a flavor, blood orange habanero. Yes.
So
very, very good. Freshy tequila seltzer.
No no little extra on top there because you're eating
you can certainly do that with some Authentico tequila.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. By the way, the ingredients in the what are we
transfusion,
talking about?
Ginger ale, vodka, splash of grape, and a lime.
Yes. Thank you. Craig in Woodstock, the last time you cried, the last time you cried, Craig, watching sports.
Yesterday, watching Rory, tears rolling down my face.
Wow.
It was emotional numerous times. Hey, give me the meal in America you'd want delivered to your house tonight.
Laurie's Prime Rib from Beverly Hills.
Awesome. Sweet. What's your drink of choice for the golf course?
Margarita on the rocks.
Oh, I like that, too. Thank you, buddy. By the way, the last time you cried is other than Rory yesterday.
Gotcha.
Because everybody got a little teary yesterday. Let's keep rocking and rolling with Joe in Buford. Hey, Joe, the last time you cried watching sports other than yesterday with Rory?
2003, Syracuse beating Kansas for the basketball championship.
That was the Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
What was it? Who's the kid who blocked the shot? Warwick?
Yeah, Hakeem Warwick.
Hakeem Warwick.
Jerry McNamara.
Seven threes the first half, right?
Six, but very close. Very good memory, Steak.
Yes, in the first half. The meal you most want delivered tonight to your home?
Well, I'd have to go back to my old hometown. There's one of the best Italian restaurants in the state of New York. Joey's Fine Dining, and I would order the veal
parmesan
francais, veal francais peppered with artichoke hearts. It's incredible.
I love this question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
People just thinking about their favorite meals in America. Hey, what's your drinker's choice on the golf course?
Yeah, I do like the transfusion if I'm not having a beer. So.
Good stuff.
I'd go Scallientella. Jackie and I went there for our anniversary. Amazing Italian restaurant, Upper East Side, like East 62nd. Just
there is. I've been to Scallientella. You don't even get a menu. Just tell me what you want to order, right? Fried clams are my favorite thing. There's a couple of shacks in Ipswich, Mass, which is where clam, dude. The fried clams and the bellies and the tartar and the. I don't know where I'm going to have lunch today, but it's going to be aggressive. It is going to be very aggressive.
Well, you know, Masterpiece is right around the corner here.
That's
Masterpiece
the Asian
is the
restaurant,
James
most
Beard.
Famous.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Literally right around the corner. Hello.
All right. A lot of things running through my head right now. Thank you for all the insight, Mr. Drew.
Yeah, great day. Glad to be in the hometown of Duluth, Georgia, so appreciate you guys coming out.
All right. We appreciate you, G-Money, as well. And tomorrow, Sandy returns, the Queen, Rusty on Friday. Enjoy your Monday. Andy and Randy up next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.